come prepared to hear the message that the Lord's put upon my uncle's heart, and he's got a presentation for us here, and I intentionally picked short songs so he would have all the time he needed. That's why I would give you our brother and an apostle, Joel Yates.
Why would he think I need much time? I'm really happy to be here. And as we, I'm going to have someone shut these lights off, I guess. Maybe that bank. We'll see how well this shows up. Tell me if that is working there. Is it on? It's on. Okay. Just prior to getting ready to go on a trip, and I've had a lot of things on my mind, and I've had the thoughts for this sermon for a long time and some concerns that I would like to share with you tonight as it relates to us as a local, as a body of Christ, and it has to do, can you see it yet? Is it up? It has to do with this concept, the words of my mouth. And, we're living in a time, and, in the last trips that I've made, sometimes we talk to people of other faiths, and we talk about simple concepts like John 3:16. How many of you know what that is by heart? Yeah, most of us, right? You know, one of the things that Trevor would say is, that's where you start, but it should never be where you finish. And as Christians, where do we start and where do we finish? You know, I started initially, I thought, well, I could put 2 Corinthians or 2 Nephi chapter 13, and you know what it says, press on. You know, after baptism, it's not done. You need to press forward, keep going. Hebrews 6 says, you know, you go on to perfection. How do we in the Church of Christ, how do we go on? Just beyond being brothers and sisters, there are some things that, and this to me is one of the biggest challenges we sometimes have, and I'd like to just go over things tonight, things that I need to remember, things that you need to remember. So I want to talk about the words of our mouths. Psalm 19 says, I'm not going to read 1 through 14, I hope you go back and see it. The first thing talks about the glory of God, how He put the stars up there, and He says there's not a language or a speech in the world that doesn't understand. But he gets to verse 12 through 14, and he says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, I've appreciated these words of David so many times. This thought, and I want you to understand one of the basic principles of the things you and I say is your heart is always attached. You don't just say things without there being some attachment to what's going on inside of you. And here, you know, he says, keep thy servant back from presumptuous sins. What is that? Arrogance. The things that cause us so often is pride, arrogance. You know, it gets us in sin. The idea, you know, there is a class of presumptuous men whom age has not made cautious nor adversity wise. They never get it. They're going to say what they want to say. They're going to do what they want to do, and they don't consider. They don't consider what might happen by what they say or what they do. That is not what you and I are called to be like. You and I are called to always be considerate of what might happen by the things that we say. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 12. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And I want you to get this idea in your mind that it's always the truth that the things we say, they come from a well inside. And the Lord pointed it out. Out of the abundance of the heart, things come out of our mouth. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You know, if you and I consider how strong of a statement that is, every idle word, we're going to give an account of. You know, I've read several times, there's a dream I've often read about called The Room. And a man named Joshua Harris had this dream. And so for those that aren't familiar with it, I'll just kind of give you the basics. You know, he walked in a room and there's card files that had everything he'd ever done. Everything. And how did he know? He'd pull out a card file, girls I've liked. He knew everybody on those. And his name was written on the bottom of every card. And he understood, everything I've done in my life has been written down. And one of those things he saw was, things I have muttered in anger under my breath. You know, everything that we say is written down. You and I are going to give an account in the day of judgment. And our words will either justify us or they will condemn us in the end. And so how important is it that we're aware of the things that we say and how we, you know, how we respond in this world to others? Idle words, inactive, that is unemployed, lazy, useless, barren, things that have no value, things that we've said. That word it was taken from is to work or to toil, you know. Something that you just said absentmindedly, you weren't thinking about. It has no value. It has nothing for which it's going to do, which is for good. Idle words, something that will be held in account of. Mosiah 2 says it this way in verses 48 to 50. Finally, I cannot tell you all the things whereby you may commit sin. For there are divers ways and means, even so many that I cannot number them. But this much I can tell you, that if you do not watch yourselves and your thoughts and your words and your deeds and observe to keep the commandments of God and continue in the faith of which you have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even unto the end of your lives you must perish. And now will man remember and perish not. Again, you know, we're reminded our words, that we're going to be held into account. And so, you know, how do our words affect the relationship we have in the Church of Christ? And what relationship do we have? You know, I thought about a couple of things. I almost brought one of our kids up here, and I didn't do it, and I'll tell you what I was going to do. But he says in 1 Corinthians 12, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." And he goes on talking about each of the part, how they're connected. And we know this has been preached on, but he finishes by saying that there should be no schism in the body, no division, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And, you know, God's perfect design in His church was that you and I would have the same care. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. I thought, how could I show this, you know? Bring one of these little kids up here, pull a shoe off, take a hammer and hit him on the toe. What do you think would happen? Does the rest of the body feel it? It's a complete connection, folks. You know, do you think that we don't know when a brother or sister is suffering? Is there no connection? Are we that disconnected? Thought about, you know, I could tickle their foot and we'd get a laugh. And we know when times are good. We know when people are suffering. It's the way we're supposed to. It's the relationship we should have. And sometimes we get to thinking wrongly about it. You know, what do we know about each other? You know, everybody has families, and we always, you know, how many of you know what's going on in your family? How many of you know all the stuff down deep, you know, struggles, the sins, the problems? And you pray for them, and you know, is it unrealistic for us? You know, sometimes I think we say, well, people shouldn't really know what's going on in my life. Really? You know, when Amy was having problems with her back, did you know there was something wrong? Yeah. The doctor couldn't figure it out, but she knew. Do you think that as a body of Christ that we're that disconnected, that my business is just my business and it's none of yours and that you'll never see it? Because we have a God that's a revealer of secrets, even. He shows us things about ourselves and He shows us things about others. But why would He do that? And for what purpose does it have? Just as the body's connected, so are we. Family of Christ has the same connections. You know, we see each other's faults and weaknesses, and you know, that's the package that the Lord gave us. We all have this package deal of strengths and weaknesses. I have them, you have them, you see them, I see them. And yet you and I are called to labor together, to have the same care for one another in the body of Christ. You know, there's things that are going to happen that I'll probably hear about. There's things that I may do that you might hear about. There's been failures of mine that the Lord showed right in front of everybody. Sometimes we have this unrealistic expectation that what we do shouldn't matter to the rest, and it's just not the truth. And I want you to understand that as we consider the things that we say, things that you are going to be that you're going to come up against. You know, there was a term that I didn't put on here, but I thought about it. You know, what do you do with the information you receive? Well, we're going to go through some scriptures tonight about things we say, how we say them, all these things that the scriptures tell us these things, and the power of the things that we say. And I want you to consider it so that you consider the things that you say. So, how do things we say about each other affect us? First, in Proverbs 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So important to remember. James 3:2 says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. As you and I are called to go on to perfection, this verse really came to my mind is figuring out how to be careful in what you say. If you can figure out how to bridle your tongue, how to put a stop or how to make sure that you're careful in the things you say, that you do not offend in word, you are on the way to being that perfect person, that perfect man in Christ, able to bridle other passions in your body because so often those things come out of our mouth. There are some basic truths. James 3:8 says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the mouth, the same mouth, proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? And James, you know, he points out the struggle of mankind. And it's something we all share in. I would bet that anybody that's of the age of accountability can say, man, there's some things I wish I could have taken back. Wish I would not have said that. And here, you know, James is encouraging us. We have to do better in terms of the things that we say and how we say it. Some basic truths. Proverbs 6:16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, even seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, one of the things that our communication, the words of our mouth, the hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. You know, of those, almost half of those have to do with the things that you and I say. Things that God hates. Things that are an abomination. Having a lying tongue. Being a false witness. and saying things that cause discord among God's people. It's a basic truth. Things that God does not look kindly upon, and they're not good for His people. So how does God speak? Proverbs tells us about Him. In chapter 8, verses 4 to 8. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. You know, God, His way of speaking to His people is our example. And as He even speaks of what He says, how He says it to you and I, He speaks truth, excellent things. He doesn't speak the perverse things and the froward things. There's power in the things that we say. And, you know, the next couple of slides, several slides, are about an incident that happened. And I want to talk about the power of what you can do or not do with the things you say. So in the 13th chapter of Numbers, there's a story. You all have heard it, but it starts. It says, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, all those men were the heads of the children of Israel." So Moses was told by the Lord, take notable men in every tribe and send them, 12 men, into the land of Canaan. Let them search it out and come back again. And here's the story of their return. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. They went over there for 40 days, as the Lord commanded. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it." You know, they carried back big old huge deals full of grapes that drugged the ground. They were so huge, this land that flowed with milk and honey. So the first thing they said is pretty positive. "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." You know, just in a report, they showed some good stuff, and all of a sudden you're hearing, you know, well, here's where, this is what they were supposed to do, spy out the land. Who's where? And here's these things. But even the way they said it, you know. But then this man, Caleb, stands up. It says, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." One voice jumped right to, "Let's go. Let's go do this." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which are come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight." You know, why did I pick this particular story? I did because of a couple of reasons. Number one, I believe that we're living in a day when God's people have to be careful of the things we say. These 10 men that spoke this way destroyed the faith of a whole generation of people. The next chapter tells us, "And the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night." Here they had their hopes, their dreams. They were going to go to the land of Israel, the land of milk and honey, and Moses was going to lead them there. And And because of what these 10 men said, they were filled with fear. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness." Here we are again. All because of what was said. I believe that we're living in a day when it's so important to call one another to faith, to a faithful God. These are people that saw the miracles that He'd done. They saw the Lord separate the Red Sea. They saw all these things, and only one spoke for Him in the beginning. Only Caleb spoke for Him. And in that moment, He stilled the people until the others spoke up. We live in this time. You know, there are things that we are going to face that we need to stand up and to speak those words of faith toward God. I remember, I thought of how we apply this somewhat to our day. You know, I remember the day that we got the news that my brother passed away. And we walked into the house of my parents to tell them the news. Hard news to tell. And we told them what had happened and what we knew. And immediately after that, my youngest sister says, "We have to thank God for the wonderful weekend that He gave to us." She called our whole family to faith in a moment. Are you ready for the days that lie ahead? Are you going to call one another to faith? Not to anguish, but to faith. In a mighty God that sees everything, delivers His people. These days lie ahead, and the things that we say have power. And I want you to know it. Find the things that lead us to faith. Joshua, hearing this, Joshua now speaks up. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." You know, we have a choice in the things we say and the things that the impact that it has in the lives of our brothers and sisters from the largest and the smallest of us. A simple word so often is what is needed. Faith towards God. The choice is always ours, but I encourage you to move toward faith. To grow in the things that we say as we push people towards the Lord. Proverbs 16 says this, "The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips." You and I are called to be wise, that the things that we say, the things that come from our lips, are something which is good. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. You know, we live in a time where there's people's hearts that are failing them for fear, for all kinds of things. And the things they need the most are those words of encouragement that give strength to the soul. "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. The froward man soweth strife, and a whisper separateth chief friends." You know, we have a choice in the way we speak, in the things that we do, what we allow ourselves to do with the things that we say and how we communicate. We can separate, or we can strengthen one another. And you and I are called to strengthen one another, to allow your heart to teach you wisdom. Here's another one. "A soft answer turneth away wrath." It's always your choice how you choose to answer things. "But grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. And I, you know, as I considered these words, these truths about the way we speak, you know, how many times has it worked? How many times have you tried it when someone's upset at you, maybe rightly so, to answer softly and find that it has power with God? And these are the things I'm talking to you about, is the things that give us power with God, the Spirit of God. When we lend to other things, it says there's a breach in the Spirit. There's a break. And the Spirit leaves us when we are not using these things that God has given us rightly. And so be that tongue that gives a tree of life. John 8 says, Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 43 and 44, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word." You know, he was trying to tell the Jews. They wouldn't listen, and they wouldn't listen. And then he says, "You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." The Book of Mormon has a similar scripture. We know who it is that speaks lies. And so there's times that I think are important for us to remember as we relate to one another the things that we say. Proverbs 13:10, "Only by pride doth cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." 3 Nephi 5:30 says, "For verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hath the spirit of contention is not of me, but is of the devil, which is the father of contention, and he stirreth up the hearts of men to contend with anger one with another. Behold, this is not my doctrine, to stir up the hearts of men with anger one against another, but this is my doctrine, that such things should be done away." You know, the things that we speak are often attached to the emotion that we have at the moment. And, you know, sometimes we got to remember that if we allow ourselves, and we've known, been in situations where someone feels justified, well, what I'm saying is right, and yet they're willing to contend over the matter. And it stirs up anger. And the Lord says, this is never acceptable before him. And so, you know, as we consider how we speak to one another, what times we should speak to one another, remembering that a soft answer turns away wrath. If you allow for contention, whose work are you doing? And that's what I want you to remember. Doesn't matter what your stand is, whether you're doctrinally sound, if you grab contention and you allow it to take you over, whose work are you doing? Proverbs 11:9, "A hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter." You know, these concepts, you know, we don't want to destroy anybody. We're called, even our neighbor, to hold your peace, to be careful. In the law of Moses, you know, it was something that the Lord commanded a man to stand for his neighbor. Stand up for your neighbor. You don't let someone take advantage or destroy that relationship. You do something with it. And even here, you know, be careful of the things you say. About those that you live next to, be careful. A talebearer, those that go after, looking at secrets. He says, you and I, if we're faithful, we can conceal a matter. There's times I believe, you know, that you and I are going to hear things. You and I can't help it. We hear things all the time. And we know why. We know because there is a spirit out there that stirs us up. And there's things that we see or we say, oh, look at so-and-so's not, they're doing this or that. We've all been there. We've all heard those things. And I ask you, you know, there's times when you see someone that's struggling and they may have made a mistake or they may have done something they shouldn't have. Be careful with what you do when you receive that information, and handle it correctly. Remember that sometimes the faithful spirit conceals a matter. There's a concept that I don't have it down here, but I want you to just consider it for a moment. By the way, a talebearer is someone that carries tales, a slanderer, someone that's looking for something to talk about. There's a scripture that says that a good name is rather to be chosen than riches. You know, every one of us, it's important that you have a good name. It's important to me that my family, my kids have a good name. It's important that my brothers and sisters have a good name. Sometimes any one of us could be guilty of doing something that affects our name. But we're the ones that have to support one another and strengthen one another. Satan, his whole job is to destroy the person that you are and your name. And so be careful about the things that we say and realize whose work we're doing when we involve ourselves in those things. Secrets have never been part of God's kingdom. He gives us the things to do. Romans tells us of the things that he does when he influences people. And hopefully it's not us, but we've heard these terms, and I just want to look at them real quick. Romans 1, 28 to 30. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, he gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. These definitions, you know, the ones that have to do with the things that you and I can say, debate, someone that always is looking for the quarrel, wrangling, they're contentious. We always want to say something, do something. We always want to get into it with somebody else because they're wrong, obviously, or we wouldn't want to do it. Whisperers. A secret calumniator. That's a good one. A whisperer. You know, when I looked up those terms and I looked up that term 5587, a whisperer is that person that goes behind the scenes and quietly undermines another individual. A backbiter, on the other hand, is someone that openly talks against another individual. Everybody knows they don't like you or that person doesn't like you. And the Lord puts these things in this as things that are offensive to him. Something to which we have been called against. And this is his judgment. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Those things which you and I could participate in are worthy of spiritual death. Because they cause that among God's people. And so he says, don't even have pleasure in those that are doing them. If you hear those things, you are the one that has a responsibility to change what's going on. 2 Thessalonians 3, 11 says, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. 1 Timothy 5 picks it up in verse 13. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. And here was a condition that Paul saw in these two groups in the church. Paul saw it, and he was addressing something that can happen. It usually happens by idleness. If you don't have something to do in your life, which has never been good for anyone, you end up taking your time and talking too much and looking into things that you shouldn't be looking into. Busybodies to work around, that is, bustle about, meddle, to be a busybody. Well, we pretty well know what that is. Tattlers. I don't even know how to say this word. So if someone can say it. Garrulous? Is that right? Okay. A garrulous person, that is, a prater. Well, those are the definitions. A talkative person, prating is one that talks much to little purpose. Or on trifling subjects, you know. The things that you and I are called to not be are these things. We should not be involving ourselves just for the sake of being able to talk about this person or that person. Usually Satan's got an agenda, and we can be doing his work and not even realize it. Sometimes even justify ourselves. But I want to talk about God's higher way. Here in 3 Nephi 5, 69 and 70, this is also found in Matthew chapter 5. It says, Jesus says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, and it is written before you, that thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment of God. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of his judgment." And it starts by dealing with the matters of your heart, as it begins with anger. "And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council." Raca is a term that means you are worthless. You have no value. What counsel would you be in danger of? "Whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire." You and I are called to be considerate of the things that we say as it relates to brothers and sisters. How much value did God place in every one of us? Satan is the one that devalues the children of men. And so these concepts and these words, you know, deal with your attitude, anger. And the things that come from anger, the things that you're going to say when you're upset, deal with your anger. This is what the Lord said. Put it away. Be careful not to think of others as though they have no value. And remember that you should not be judging your brother. James 4, 11 and 12, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?" You know, the Lord is the one that will save us or destroy us. And it's not really my job to tell my brother that he's going to hell or these things. I have a different responsibility. And the things that I say about you and the things that you say about me and what we say about one another is very important. This, you know, these kind of things do not accomplish what God is wanting us as a body to accomplish for one another. Having that idea of having the same care one for another. Speaking evil. Proverbs 12. And I love this one. "Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad." Something you and I have the ability to do. And we've seen it, you know, our brothers and sisters buried in and down in heart and using the things that God has given us, our words. A good word can buoy up the spirit of our brothers and sisters. God can use all of us. And here in Ephesians 4, really to me is the best principle of all that he says about the things that you and I, how we use our words and what we are supposed to do with them. And so we're going to go over Ephesians 4. Part of it speaking to, in verse 15, is speaking to the ministry, but it's how we all should speak. It says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." We're called to speak the truth in love. Sometimes that means we correct one another, and we say those things in the right way. "From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." There's something that as a body you and I are supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be growing closer together, more Christ-like, and we do that by teaching each other in love. We are speaking that truth. The pure principles of speech. And that you put on, here, this is continuing in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, "and that you put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Going back to this concept, you know why? Because we're members one of another. We talk to each other truthfully. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. It's not good to do his work. And so deal with your attitudes, deal with your emotions. Don't give the devil a place to be destructive in the body, and with you especially. Because the Lord does, again, like we read before, he's keeping track of everything we say and everything we do. Don't give place to the devil. He goes on, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. What is the pure principle of the things we say and how we say them is we are trying to do things, say things that minister grace to those that are listening. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What are these things talking about? To me, this is that, how do you go on to perfection? How do you use the things that we say for the good that God wants us to use it? Corrupt communication, things that are rotten, have no value, morally bad, they're worthless. You and I are called to edify, and edify comes from this concept of architecture, a structure. You're building something. When you and I are using what God gives us, when we're helping one another, we're building up the kingdom of God in the lives of His people. We're strengthening one another. We have this, you know, there's a way to build. And the way to build is the same way every time. You can ask anybody in construction. You know, there's ways that work. And there's one thing that goes before another. And when we look at these rules of communication, how we speak to one another, it's the same way. There's some things that lead to other things. And you can't do some things the way you want to. God has a way of doing it. And so the things that you and I are trying to do is to edify one another, to build one another up. And what does he say? To minister grace, to give value to those that you are speaking to give them preference. Evil speaking, vilification, this actually comes from the word of blasphemy. Evil speaking, railing, you know, the things that you and I are called to put away as Christians, things that we should not do to one another especially, or to anyone. So I have down just a few principles of godly speaking. And the things that God says, as you and I run up, you know, there's time to think, you know, so you hear something that goes on in the church and it comes up and you are made aware of something. Somebody says something about a brother or a sister. How do you handle it? What are you supposed to do? And because you're going to, maybe you're the one that says it, or it's so important that you listen to these principles of godly speaking and begin to apply these things to our lives as we relate to one another, as the family of Christ, someone that's supposed to be that close. So be in control of your emotions and listen and think before you speak. This is a godly principle. We find it in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You can't be angry in your conversation and be working God's righteousness, helping, thinking that you're actually helping something. He tells us to listen. Take time before you speak, but get your emotions in control. Whether it's at a meeting, you know, whether we're talking about flooring or who knows what we're going to talk about in a business meeting in the future, it doesn't matter. We have principles that we are called to go by. Get your emotions in control. And try to listen to what others are saying. Try to put yourself there with what they're saying. Be slow to speak. Give it thought before you say what you say in the way that you say it. You know, there was a term, there was something that, and I know I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again because I've never forgotten it. This has been years ago at a reunion. I listened to Leslie Case. He talked about what we say. And he used an example, and like I said, I've never forgotten it. You know, how you say, does it matter how you say things? And he gave this example. He says, you know, a man says to his wife, honey, your face would stop a clock. Impressive, right? Did he win that one? But what he really meant to say is, when I look at you, time stands still. It's important to think about what you say and how you say it. And I believe that's why this principle is here for us. You know, be in control of your emotions. Think about what you say before you speak. And listen. Speak only the truth in love. Proverbs 18:13 says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it's folly and shame unto him. You know, sometimes we get drug into things, brothers and sisters, with good intentions, you know, so-and-so said this, you know, and or we talk to somebody, maybe our kids come home and tell us something, and our kids never tell us a falsehood, or they never have their own personal idea about it, or we hear it from somebody else who we trust, and we hear one side of a story, and we think we have the truth. And in God's world, that doesn't work. Everyone has a voice. Don't answer something. Don't say something. Or don't involve yourself in something if you don't know both sides of a story. Don't continue saying it because you're doing the devil's work. We are called to speak the truth. And there's times that my impression maybe might not be right. And so if you have to be involved, if you don't get involved. But if you have to be involved or you are involved, don't make decisions, don't answer questions, don't say things without hearing both sides of a story. Don't answer a matter before you completely hear it. Speak the truth. And I think this is an important principle. Sometimes it gets us in trouble because the person we heard it from, we trust. It's not good enough. God's principles tell us to hear both sides. To make any decisions or to think anything without doing so, it's shame and it's folly to the individual that does it. Strive to speak with kindness toward everyone so as not to cause offense. Remember yourself. Well, there's two scriptures. The second one talks about the last part of that. But Proverbs 18:19 says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. You know, if you and I are not careful in the way we say things, we can choose to say things offensively. And it tells us the consequence. Sometimes when that word is out of your mouth and you didn't take the time and you didn't prayerfully consider and you didn't do it in love or in kindness and you offend somebody, it's harder to win them back. It's like trying to defeat a strong city. And the Lord reminds us of these things. He says it in another way. Put them in mind. This is the people. Paul was writing to Titus, telling them, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Put them in mind. Put you in mind to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. This includes our enemies. This is where we go on to perfection. It goes even beyond your brothers and sisters. It goes outside of the body of Christ. It goes to those that we come in contact with. Why? For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. You know, you have to remember what you were. The times that you said something when you shouldn't have. You don't have to choose to take offense. You shouldn't choose offense. And you should strive never to give it. Be careful about what you say. Remember the person that you were. The times that you needed somebody's forgiveness and kindness shown to you when you said things or did things out of turn. And it's something that we're reminded of over and over again in the Word of God. Another principle. Bless others with your words, even your enemies. You know, Christ said it like this. Matthew 5:43-44. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You know, to bless someone that has horrible things to say about you. As I've looked at this, sometimes we give... This is where God's power is given to you and I. When we follow His words, we have power with God. I want you to think about the wisdom of God in this. Love your enemy. So He says, you know, pray for your enemies, those that are despitefully using you and persecuting you. And so you go to work or you have someone that finds out you're a Christian or who knows what it is, there's always someone that has a problem with us. And I found it in the professional world, there was always someone that didn't like me. I didn't even know why. And they just looked at him, they didn't like me. And I remember when I was in high school, I had to put this to the test because I had a guy in class that drove me absolutely insane. He said things about me all the time. Every day, it got so old. I was frustrated. I was to that verge that I wanted to hate the man. And I remember... I came to a sermon here one day, and someone preached, and they read this. So I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to pray for this guy, right? And I started to pray for him. And I found it did something for me. It changed the way I considered him. But if you and I are praying for somebody, and we want power with God, if we want that our prayers to be effective and to change that individual, can you do it if you don't love them? If you're given... right back, if they say bad things about you and you return the favor and say it right back about them and put them in their place, why would it ever change them to feel differently about you? If when they do something evil, you return it, why would it ever change them? But in this way, God told us how to even change an enemy. And we have power with God when we follow His advice. We have power. When we love them, when we bless them and say good things, when they say evil, it begins to change them. You know, here I've been saying bad things about this guy. He's never treated me that way. We do things when they have done things that aren't so good, but we don't treat them the same way. The Lord begins to change things. And I found with this man in high school that by doing these things, following the Word of God to a T, that he actually became a friend of mine. In fact, he came to church with me. In fact, he brought his guitar and we sang a special at church. He came to youth group with me from time to time. He's not a member of our church today. But God, when we follow his words, changes things because there's power. He gives us power against even our enemies. Follow the word of God in matters of offense without variation. When you and I have struggles, this is one of those problems we get ourselves into sometimes. You know, somebody says something or somebody's bothered by something that I do or you do, and he gives us, the Lord gave us the specifics. This is what you do in matters of brothers and sisters. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, if they do something that's offensive, something that they sinned against you, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. I don't need to know about it. The only one that needs to know is you and them. If you go in the right attitude, there's a possibility that it never needs to go any further. We don't need to hear anything about it. But you go and you try to resolve the differences. And if he hears you, you've gained your brother. Only if you've made that attempt, and you know, here it sounds like, well, you just do it once, and if he says, I don't want to talk about it, you're done. You've done your duty, go on, and then we can add people to the mix. That's not really what the Lord's trying to say. He wants us to do all we can to resolve our issues with one another so that it doesn't affect the body. And He wants us to do it between us and them. But if He will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. What is the purpose of taking one or, you know, one or two more? Just say, see, I told you they didn't like me, you know. No, it's trying to get others to say, listen, you guys need to resolve this. Get this worked out. And that one or two more needs to leave it between the parties that are involved. It's not the problem of everybody else. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. There's sometimes a time when the church has to take an action, but it should be the last resort. Someone who will not be part or choose not to have part in trying to resolve the conflicts in the body. And we cannot allow the division in the body. You know, these things that they've been on my mind and my heart, because sometimes I hear us, sometimes, you know, we take things, sometimes I see things on Facebook. How many of you think you can resolve problems on Facebook? Honestly? How many of you think correcting your friend, or especially teenagers, is helping them? Know that there's a way that God gives us. It's usually not calling them out in front of the world. When you have a problem with somebody, go to them in love. Because the Lord did that for us. He called us. He convicted us of our sins. Knowing that, you know, even the Scriptures, and I don't have it because I think this is my last slide. The Scriptures tell us if you know of a fault within your brother, you know, if you're spiritual, go talk to your brother. What would a spiritual individual do? They would go in humility and they would strive with that individual, trying to bring them back into the fold. Give them strength. They would be strengthening them. They would be giving them, ministering to them those words, edifying them, ministering to them in grace. And these are the things that we're called to do. Know yourself. You know, there's times that you might hear things, maybe it's not your job to take up the job of handling it. If you hear a problem, or if you have the ability to call somebody and say, we probably shouldn't be saying that. Be careful of the things you say. They're being recorded. We're living in a time like no other time in history where we've got to be there to build one another up, to strengthen one another. And sometimes we fall so far short, we allow ourselves to injure one another. And as the house of Israel showed to us, sometimes it could cause even spiritual death. So be careful of the things that you say. Remember your brothers and sisters. Love them. Have the same care for them as you have for yourself before God. And may God bless us to in everything be a blessing in this world, to one another, to our enemies, to our friends, by the things that we say. That is my hope and my prayer. Thank you for your time.